Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back, and Ron Fauché joins us, political analyst and president of the Claris Research Group, to talk about what's the latest and what's trending in the polls. And Ron, there is so much going on nationally, I don't even know where to start, my friend.
You got it. Everything is popping, and everything is being polled.
Yeah, I mean, on a Democrat side, I guess we're already entering into the 2020 election. Obviously, I don't know how many more candidates can qualify.
Well, I think it looks like every few days somebody's getting in. There's a total of about 35 potential candidates in the race. I don't know how many has actually gotten in. I think about half of those have already announced. So there could be more.
When you think about that, and I guess in modern times, I don't remember, and you would know, whether there's ever been a case that there's that many talking and announcing this early on in the process.
No, I don't remember that many. We had a lot of candidates in the Republican race, 4 years ago when Trump was nominated, there were 16 Republicans running against him. But in this particular case, I think what you have that's attracting a few things are attracting candidates. Number one, the two front runners, I think, were often seen by a lot of people, and that would be Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, as maybe they wouldn't ultimately run. So because of that, I think it's attracted a lot of other candidates to get in the race. The other thing is that after Trump won, coming out of nowhere, it encouraged a lot of other candidates to get in the race because they thought they could come out of nowhere too, and win the race. And the same thing for the Obama race. So it made it very difficult for them to talk one another out of it. And so everybody is looking at it saying, well, why can't I run? Why can't I have it?
So I'll say this cautiously. I don't think Joe Biden has announced that he's running, correct? Bernie has. And much to everyone's surprise, in the immediate aftermath of his announcement, he starts setting records as it relates to fundraising.
Right. Well, he has a big national organization from his last race, and he can raise money and he can get volunteers.
So what does that do to the others that were kind of thinking they had a shot at being running out in front? Kamala Harris obviously had a very nice reaction to her announcement. She jumped up in the polls a little bit in the immediate aftermath of the announcement, and all of a sudden it's though she hit a plateau real quick.
Well, I think she hit a plateau because all these other candidates are getting in the race, and so it's distracting attention. But I think she's got pretty good field position right now. Most of the polls are showing her running third, and she's third to Biden and to Sanders, both of whom have run for president before and have a national base. So I think she's in a pretty good position. I mean, look, this thing is a long way from over and it's wide open. But in terms of the candidates, I think she's in a pretty good start right now.
Did you ever think that you would see the day that a candidate that advocates Medicare for all may be a moderate?
No, I didn't. But so many things are changing in these political parties and in what people feel like they have to do to appeal to the left wing of their party, and of course on the Republican side to the right wing of their party, that a lot of things are out of whack from where they were. And the incredible thing is polls are showing most Democrats, their first priority is winning the nomination and being able to beat Donald Trump in the general election. That's what Democratic voters want, to beat Donald Trump. But the further their candidates go to the left, the less likely that's going to be to happen. And that's a pretty basic thing. You would think they would understand that, but they're looking at short-term goals right now, which I don't think is usually very smart in politics.
Is that not a slippery slope for the Democrats, though, and kind of narrowing? And I guess in every race, it's us against them and them again against us. But when you think about narrowing it down on that, is the primary objective is to beat Trump. The longer this goes on with 20 or 30 candidates, doesn't it become more and more difficult from a maturation standpoint to finally, you know, resign themselves to a consensus candidate?
It will, and we've seen that happen before. But we've also seen, the one thing to keep in mind at this stage of this Democratic presidential race is, you know, I call it the kaleidoscope theory. You know, voters every now and then sort of turn the kaleidoscope and it looks different. And the way things look today may look very different in a few months from now. So we have to see where it goes. But we've seen before candidates like when John Kerry was nominated in 2004 and McCain was nominated in 2008 and Romney was nominated in 2012, they were all considered to be the most electable candidates running for the nomination in those elections. And that helped them win the nomination because the Democrats wanted to beat Bush and the Republicans wanted to beat Obama. But even though that happened, those candidates ultimately lost.
You know, in getting into this race even further, obviously Trump continues to provide fodder for the left with some of his tweets and some of the ways that he addresses certain issues. And then on the Democrat side, it seems as though a lot of the fodder is not even coming from the candidates themselves. It's those sitting on the sidelines, like this Representative Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They seem to just be stepping into the proverbial you-know-what almost every other day.
Well, they are, and they are becoming sort of the symbols of Democratic extremism to the political center of the universe here, and that's really hurting the Democratic Party, and there's not much they can do about it. They can't tell AOC or this other member of Congress to shut up. I'm sure they've probably tried, but they're going to keep talking and keep advancing what they want, and so it really is moving the Democratic Party to the left. I have noticed that some of the Democrats running for president are beginning to resist that temptation some. If Joe Biden runs, I think you will see him run as the centrist and the candidate who can win. Even Amy Klobuchar, who is now being characterized as a moderate, even though she has a very liberal voting record as a member of the Senate, but some of these people like Klobuchar and even Sherrod Brown look like they're attempting to separate themselves from the AOCs of the world who are moving the Democratic Party debate way, way to the left.
Yeah, and I mean, there's just so many issues that these candidates trying to distinguish themselves are embracing. When you look at the Jussie Smollett thing, I don't know who's advising these people. Why go out and just make these statements so quick, almost immediately, and then you can't crawl it back? I mean, it's so hard to crawl it back, and it's almost like they're fighting to be, one, relevant, but two, to distinguish themselves from the rest of the pack because they're all kind of clustered up there on the far left.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that's going on in politics, and I saw it when I was up there on Capitol Hill and was sort of horrified by it. But there's sort of a whole group of party operatives and partisans and people in congressional staff who believe that their politicians need to be, as you said, they need to be relevant. They need to jump in the middle of every story. They need to shoot you know, shoot from the hip before they have the facts. And it's causing a lot of people in politics to go way, way too far and to endorse things that that they shouldn't be endorsing. This Green New Deal is a good example of that. There's a lot of things in the Green New Deal that a lot of people could support, involving conservation and
it's aspirational.
Environmental quality and things like that. But there are other things in it that's basically, it's flat out socialism. It's flat out nationalizing public industries that would radically change the way this country's economy works and everything else. Now, if you're for that, you have a right to be for it. But a lot of these candidates have signed on to this, and even though they may say it's aspirational, rest assured, before it's over, their opponents are going to say, it's not just aspirational, but this candidate has supported something that's going to wreck certain businesses, industries, destroy jobs, and the like. So
it'll be very much
be very careful.
It'll be very much operational. One thing I know for sure, Ron, you and I will be talking again, because this is going to be a very fluid process over the next 18 months. Thank you so much.
I'm already getting hoarse, so I know where we're going to be. Yeah.
So, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Always appreciate your insight. Ron Fauché, political analyst and president of Claris Research Group. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. On a Blue Runner opinion poll, do you agree or disagree with the removal of Jussie Smollett from the TV show Empire? The last two episodes, that is. Doesn't seem like we're able to get to a consensus on this. It's at 100% agree. That's the case. Let's go to line one. Talk to Mike and Metri. What say you, Mike?
Hey, happy Friday, Noel. I'm feeling a little down and depressed this Friday. I'll tell you why. It has a little bit to do with this Jussie Smollett thing. But a question, I'm sure you would agree with this, that, internet, Facebook, social media is good and bad. One of the good things, I think, about it is you can kind of see where people's likes, dislikes, what makes them happy, what makes them sad, in their personal life, political life, whatnot. And all week I've been seeing this stuff on, Jussie Smollett stuff. And remember, this is an actor who pretended a hate crime and should be charged and to the full extent of the law for what he was an idiot for doing it, but made up a story trying to get attention for himself for financial gain. Okay. I get it. But then, like you said, I know you alluded to the story with the Coast Guard guy. And these same people that all week were talking about him don't mention a word. And then I see them post things about, the uprising and fake hate crimes during the Trump era. And I always go back to them and I say, can you repost, please, to me your post back in October when a self-proclaimed neo-Nazi went into a synagogue and murdered 11 people? That didn't draw your attention. An actor.
But I don't know how you can. I don't know how you can say that. I think almost every station covered that situation.
I'm not talking about news.
They drew different conclusions from it, but I think they covered it.
I'm not talking about news. I'm talking about people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not talking about the news. I'm talking about people. Us in general, and this is what makes me upset and a little bit depressed, is this type of thing draws more attention from everyday folk than that type of thing does.
But don't you believe, Mike, that a lot of it is the conclusions that they're drawing? That in this particular case, basically half the population was under attack by saying that, this dealt with, the MAGA hat, the lynching, the this, the that, and so Jussie touched all of the sensitivities in order to increase, the kind of the notoriety of his story.
And now,
unfortunately, the fallout is you're suffering the ills of it, because it really was an attack on Chicago, attack on the community, attack on the country.
I couldn't agree more. The guy's an idiot.
And now they're lashing back, and I think that's why it's getting the coverage that it did.
No, I agree with you. But the point is like you said, the sensitivity to that aspect. And my point is that draws more sensitivity than an actual murder of 11 people. I'm just, you see what
yeah,
I'm saying?
I agree with you. I agree. And but you can carry that to this point as well. And it's and a number of folks are talking about this. When they talk about hate crimes being on the rise, really, the ones where it's on the rise more significantly than I think any other category is anti-Semitism.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
it's gone up at certain things.
But we're not talking about that either, quite frankly.
It's because
of the way it's being crafted by the far left media in many respects, because it doesn't match the storyline that they want to talk about, especially as we enter into this 2020 election. And you're seeing more and more of it. That's what I'm seeing. We'll be right back. Mike, thanks so much for calling. Always appreciate your insight. Got to take a break. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. Shout out to the Zulu organization for standing their ground. Malcolm Suber and the Take 'Em Down NOLA organization continue to try to intimidate the Zulu organization into changing their customs. Malcolm Suber says they know good and damn well that this blackface has its roots in minstrelsy, and they are the modern-day minstrels. They are strictly for the white guests who come to town to take part in Mardi Gras. You got to be kidding me. Now he's gonna say that the Zulu organization is engaged in that custom only to pander to the whites. Thankfully, Zulu refused a meeting with this organization. I mean, how do you sit down at a table and talk to somebody that's going to make silly-ass accusations like that? Why can't it be what Zulu says it is, about a celebration about their culture? And in many cases, the roots of their culture. Why can't it be that way? Suber says that his group plans to continue to put pressure on the club, work to build public opposition and to the Zulu custom, and call on the city council to deny the crew a parade permit in future years if it does not change its ways, according to Jeff Adelson's report in The Advocate. What is this, my way or the highway? Malcolm Suber is now the individual in his organization that is the moral compass of Mardi Gras. The organization Zulu continues to defend its tradition and argued that black makeup is not the same as blackface. That's right. It's all about intent and context. Zulu parade costumes bear no resemblance to the costumes worn by blackface minstrel performers at the turn of the century. The crew's statement said, Zulu parade costumes more closely resemble and are designed to honor the garments worn by South African Zulu warriors. The protesters tried to be intimidating out on the neutral ground on Broad Street and were trying to engage rush hour motorists, according to the article, in this conversation. And as the rally continued, a number of the Zulu members slapped on the group's signature face paint before flaunting it in front of the protesters. And they were passing the makeup to one another, and they were put it on. I say congratulations to Zulu. Where, you know, they know what they are all about. They know what their identity is. They know why they're doing it. They know the intent, and they know the context in which they're doing it in. And just because some other folks think that it's representative of something different doesn't mean that's what it is. The organization, to me, is comfortable in their skin. Comfortable in what they stand for, and they should not give in to Malcolm Suber and his silly representation that the only reason they're doing this is to pander to the whites who take part in Mardi Gras. Does anybody actually believe that? Because I don't. Love to hear from you, 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. This is Newell on WWL.
Here's New Orleans.
We're back and on the text line. They've lost their minds. Zulu is all tradition. Take them down. NOLA is biting off more than they can chew with this. Let's go to line one. Talk to Larry. What say you, Larry?
Hey, Newell. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.
Being Sheriff Jefferson Parish. Appreciate you keeping the city safe. Thank but anyway, you, the best Mardi Gras I ever had was they painted my face. They invited me. I was a part of Zulu. They got more white people in Zulu than people believe. And for them to say it's for the white people coming down, I'd say, like you, they crazy. I want some of that stuff they smoking.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about, like one of the texters said, it's all about the tradition and customs of Zulu. And I mean it when I say they're comfortable in their skin. They're confident in what they stand for and what they're about. I don't see any level of hypocrisy at all there. And to say that this is just, you know, done to pander to the whites is one of the most ridiculous statements I ever heard of. I mean, I just don't get it.
Yep. I'm like you. That's their tradition. I wouldn't step down for none of them. They've been doing it for years. Hats off to Zulu. I love them.
Yeah, it's a great,
have a great day, Newell.
Great organization, no doubt, Larry. Thank you. Don, on line four, what say you, Don?
Hey, Newell, happy Mardi Gras.
Same
all year. All I can say, Newell, I am so tired of people trying to take down good people and good organizations for what obviously is his own personal ridiculous agenda. I mean, you know, I'm at Mardi Gras every year, and I see these folks. They're spending a fortune. They put on this tableau. They're having fun. They're bringing tourists to the city. And to make such a ridiculous comment, I just can't get my head around this.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I brought it up. I wasn't going to do it. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to congratulate the members of Zulu for standing their ground. You know,
amen.
I mean, you
amen.
Know, they know what they're about. As I said, they're comfortable in their skin. You know, they don't profess to be anything that they're not. And they are a vibrant part of the city. You know, I mean, I could just go on and on and on for 20 minutes. And it's just
sure.
Like, you know, for this guy, you know, to try and create this division over this custom and practice for no reason, really, no reason at all.
What is his agenda? What is the goal?
I don't know what his agenda is. I mean, I'm not here to say that, you know, that this guy's all about malintent, because I don't believe that. But the facts are, I think he's just misguided on this issue. I just don't get it. I don't get it at all.
I hope more people do what the crew of Zulu has done and understand who they are and in life in general, because this is happening every day that people stand up for who you are and don't let these finger pointers change who you are.
Yeah. You know, I just, I don't know. I get frustrated.
Sad, no.
Hey, you just get frustrated sometimes.
All right,
man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You know, I don't know. I just get, the more I'm trying to get my head around this thing and what he was saying, and I've read the article that was done by Jeff Adelson with The Advocate a couple of times, and I'm reading this statement. I'm like, where did this come from? And it's almost like you're grabbing for straws, you know, to get something that's incendiary so that people will buy off on it in the hopes of making your case. He's just losing all credibility at all. And as I said, I'm glad the organization turned down the opportunity to meet with this guy. I don't think there's any upside in doing it, especially in light of a statement like that, you know, that just drives me crazy. Let's go to Bob on the West Bank, line two. What say you, Bob?
Hey, Bill. I'll tell you, you know, what can you say? I mean, this guy is totally, he's got one thing on his mind, and that's taking and doing the race card and just basically destroy everything, history, everything, culture, okay, that this country stands for. And he wants to do diversion. He wants to take and divide this country. I mean, this is totally ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've celebrated together. I mean, I think the overwhelming support for the – and that's the sense that I get. I mean, everybody I've talked to on the show, off the show, the overwhelming support for the organization has been second to none. And I think everybody's comfortable and confident in what they are about, you know.
Yeah, what crews, okay, have – look at the crews that have taken, okay, because of segregation have – dispersed, have not stopped parading because of segregation. And look at the Zulu organization, okay? They take white people in, okay, and who can take and dress up in blackface and have a good time, you know, with their counterparts, whether they're, you know, what their minorities are. I mean, you know, this organization, Zulu, okay, is more than what they are.
No, absolutely. You know what? It's a terrible thing. It sounds like inclusion to me.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I guess this guy is a far liberal left socialist or something, okay? But
well, I don't even know that we need to put the brands on any of this. It's just it's a crazy statement. I just don't understand where
it's
coming from.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Bob, I mean, thanks so much. I got to get to a break, Bob. I apologize. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and we've been talking about an article by Jeff Adelson in The Advocate where he says Zulu members double down on blackface paint as activists protest use outside their crew's clubhouse. And I got a text here, and I think this is the attitude that I want to embrace. I hope New Orleans takes this opportunity to rally around Zulu and make it their best year ever. Kind of like the thing with the no call, right? Just make it the best year ever for Zulu. This is absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, this organization has spent all this money, time, effort all year long putting together and becoming part of the greatest show on earth, you know, I mean, just putting this free show together, spending their money, making a difference, and they got to deal with this garbage right in the midst of the Mardi Gras season. I mean, that's what kind of irritates me about this more than anything else. And I kind of like this idea that we rally around this organization, make it their best parade year ever. And I'm sure they have quite a parade to put on. I'm not sure when their supper dance is. I think it's this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it's next weekend. No, I think it's this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. I thought I remember reading something about that. Scoot joins me on the line. He's up next. I think he is broadcasting from the comfort of his sofa.
Yeah, I am. You know, this isn't bad. I mean, I'm kicked back, got my leg up. But, you know, honestly, I'd rather be back there in the studio.
No, I know you do. And the Scoot salute, which will stay private within our own studio, is just not the same from afar, Scoot.
Yeah, I know. So let's just I'm doing it right now, okay? To you and Helen, I'm doing the Scoot salute right now.
So what do we have coming up next?
Well, my God, there's so much going on. R. Kelly has just been indicted.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's Robert Kraft. What the hell? But that brings up an interesting conversation about prostitution. There's, new information coming out about Jeffrey Epstein and having underage sex with young girls and how the rich are maybe in some ways protected. When it comes to that sort of thing, you know, I mean, there really is a lot to talk about. There's Jesse Smollett. You hear the sirens?
Yeah.
This is not a soundproof apartment.
Not
it. You know, sometimes when I sit here and somebody, I'll be talking to someone and they go, oh, are you watching TV? What are you watching on TV? Oh, no, I live in downtown New Orleans. That's just a siren.
It's a police show live and up front.
That's right. So we'll talk about Smollett and did Empire do the right thing? Did Fox do the right thing by eliminating him from the final two episodes? And, you know, it's Free for All Friday, Noel, so we're just going to let it roll. We're going to talk about stuff and just really let it roll today. And it's a big big weekend for Mardi Gras parades. Family Gras is this weekend in Metairie, and there are going to be some changes with the parades and with the Family Gras, so we'll be talking about all of that as well.
Yeah, we had Arthur Hardy on earlier, Scoot, and he talked about all of these changes, and this has kind of been a weird, you know, kind of ramp up into the Mardi Gras season. So many different things going on, and I was just talking about Zulu having to defend themselves now, so this is absolute craziness.
Well, it is, and I agree with you. I heard what you were saying about Zulu, and I think about the idea that at this point, this organization says they shouldn't be doing what they're doing, and there are a lot of people who may not be as defensive of Zulu as they are now, but it, you know, this group, Take 'Em Down NOLA, I think they expose themselves as being an organization that is motivated by being relevant as opposed to motivated by doing the righteous thing. It's more about them getting attention for themselves than really doing the right thing.
Absolutely. And we talked about that with Ron Fauché about political candidates as well and just other folks trying to be relevant. And they're just engaged in all kinds of missteps. And then there's no crawlback. It's too hard, you know, and it sets a course that you really don't want to go down. Well, okay. Scoot, I hope you're feeling better. Your voice sounds stronger, and sounds like you're recovering.
Thanks. I am. I'm doing fine.
All righty. Well,
have a great weekend.
All right. You too, man. Scoot's up next. He's got a great show for you, as always. Want to thank everybody for their participation today, and have a great first Mardi Gras weekend. See you again on Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.